Pass in left corner to Aguilla. Aguilla to the left circle. Pass to Yellow. Shot save made by Aguilla. Rebound. Another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers.
All right, friends, let's get the final week of the regular season underway. It is Monday, April 14th, and this hour of Flames Talk is underway from our Groundworks downtown studio. It's Steinberg and Aaron Vickers of NHL.com. We're available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Text line is open at 960-960 if you're listening here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Vix, are you ready for the final week of the regular season? Because it is upon us, my friend.
I mean, I guess I have to be, right?
Like, you don't have much
of a choice. Yeah, it is what it is at the end of the day, which is my favorite cliche in the history of time because you absolutely say nothing during it. But yes, I don't have a choice. It is literally the final week of the regular season. Is there going to be more hockey after it for some teams in this city? Interested to find out. Still a chance.
Okay. Another night, another win in the biggest game of the season. That's been kind of the MO for the last 2 weeks or so. Every game's been the biggest game of the season. We're not even making light of this. This is full-on fact. Every game has been the biggest game of the season. And in a lot of those biggest games of the season, the Flames have found a way. They did it again against the San Jose Sharks to the tune of 5-2 on Sunday. And the playoff beat goes on. And we will go through in depth all the playoff scenarios in the second hour on this Monday. I haven't ran the numbers, but I've just gone through all the plausible scenarios and what needs to happen. And I know you've got some historical data and all that type of stuff. We'll hit you with the playoff odds, all those things. But it is going to come down to Tuesday. And then if things go right, it is going to come down to Thursday. It's a guarantee that if the Flames are going to make it, it will come down to that made-up game in Los Angeles in Game 82. But the main point here is they found a way to win on Sunday to make sure that Tuesday means something. And it was not easy on Sunday night against the 32nd-ranked San Jose Sharks, who, tip of the hat to San Jose, who, yes, they've lost 9 in a row, but they have given every team they have played recently all they can handle. Ask the Oilers, ask the Flames twice in the last week, ask the Minnesota Wild how much San Jose has thrown at them and how San Jose has refused to wave the white flag on their season, even though they're missing the playoffs by 100 points. Like, good on the San Jose Sharks. But there are no style points at this time of the year. At this point, style points mean nothing. There are just points in the standings. And once again, the Flames made sure they got the job done in the third period. And listen to this from Morgan Frost. He joined us to kick off Flames Talk postgame on Sunday night following the 5-2 win. And my second question to him was, like, what's the vibe in that dressing room? The group knew that if they lost in regulation Sunday night, it was tied 2-2 after 40. If they lost in regulation, that their season was over. And if they didn't get 2 points, their season was not over, but it was a whole lot more bleak in terms of their playoff outlook. And they're playing the 32nd ranked team. They're tied 2-2 after 40. What's the mood facing elimination for the first time this season? What's the mood inside that dressing room after 40? I thought Morgan Frost gave a great response.
To be honest with you, there's absolutely zero panic in there. You know, I think that could easily creep in a little bit, and it's almost like we gain more confidence when we're coming back out for the third, and it feels like every game we've played for a long time has been close like that going into the third, and it's just positivity, you know, reinforcing the confidence in each other, and then we come out and play well in the third. So, like to get a lead earlier, but. All that matters is that we get the 2 points.
It's a heck of a trait. The Flames Talk postgame show from Sunday night is available wherever you get your podcasts right now. But, hey, you get the wins. It doesn't matter. At this stage of the game, it doesn't matter how the Flames get the wins. Would they like better starts on a more regular basis? Of course they would. And I think the team was a little nervous. I think there was some real nervous energy facing elimination for the first time on Sunday night, and they got off to a horrid start. Dustin Wolf kept them in it. The Sharks only scored once in a dominant first 10 or 11 minutes. It could have been 2-3-4-0 had Dustin Wolf not been as dialed as he was. And then they figured it out as the game went along. They somehow had a lead after 20. They were tied after 40. And then they put together a banging third period. They scored three times. They didn't let the Sharks do much of anything at all. And they won a hockey game they absolutely needed to have.
They had the lead after 20 minutes because Dustin Wolf was the goalie of record. Just flat out. Shots were 8-0 when Toffoli scores 3.5 minutes into the game.
And a good chunk of those eight were quality.
High quality. And then they happened to score on shots 4 and 5. Their fifth shot came 14 minutes into the game. In an elimination game, in a must-win game, you can't lose this in regulation or your playoff hopes are dashed. And you go 8-0 against the 32nd place San Jose Sharks. Not a great start, and I agree with the jitters. And tip your cap, full marks. Which one?
Jitters.
Oh, well, thank you. I didn't think it was that elaborate.
I just think that's exactly what it was. I think they had the jitters, the yips, whatever you want to call it. I think they were...
They dipped a toe.
They were not playing as free and... I Ryan Huska hates the word loose, so I won't use that word. But they weren't playing as free and unencumbered as they were on Friday night against Minnesota, where they beat the wheels off the Wild, right? Like, they beat the brakes off Minnesota in a must-win game.
That's what... I, to a degree, find puzzling is that Minnesota game was a must win.
But you know what my theory is? Like, think about it. Minnesota was in a situation where they could clinch for the first time and they were nervous and tight and jittery and had and Calgary had a whole lot less to lose at that point and they played like it. But then what happens on Saturday happens, and now the Flames are facing elimination for the first time. So now the stakes are the highest they've been all year, and the Flames look like to start. They were playing with the jitters. Now I'm going to use that word all the time because you threw it out there.
It's yours now, buddy, and I'll buy that theory a little bit. The other thing I kind of crossed my mind a bit was the level of competition. And you laid out the case for the San Jose Sharks. Yeah, 9 straight losses, but they have given some quality teams some quality runs in that stretch. You have the Minnesota Wild. It's a head-to-head. It's a team you're chasing. You don't have to have it, but you have to have it. It doesn't eliminate you, but it could have eliminated you Saturday. And you dip a toe in against the San Jose Sharks, who, again, they've clinched the best odds in the NHL draft lottery for a reason. But credit to Dustin Wolf, first and foremost, and credit to the rest of the group that managed to take a lead after one, took a tie game into the third period, and absolutely ran with it from there. And we heard why. From Morgan Frost.
Is anyone questioning the Wolf starts anymore? Like, for a little while there, he's now started 7 in a row, guaranteed to be 8. Unless he's sick on, knock on wood, unless he's sick
Don't
on Tuesday night, or unless something, some sort of weird act of God happens, Dustin Wolf is starting on Tuesday night. And it'll be 8 in a row.
Yeah.
And for a little while there, I saw on the socials, I saw on the text line, Daryl, I'm looking at you, I saw the... Oh, they're starting Wolf again. What are they thinking? They're gonna out. Is anybody questioning the Dustin Wolf starts for the last 7 games, soon to be 8 games in a row, where he has been for the most part as this team is putting together a pretty impressive run? Damn impressive run to keep themselves in the run, in the running. Dustin Wolf has been at the forefront of why that has happened. I mean, go take a look at games against Colorado, the game that they were able to come back and win in. Oh, that was Dan Vladar, so scratch that one. But Dan Vladar, we know how good Dan Vladar has been. I always want to make sure that we underline that this guy has been a big part of it as well. But Dustin Wolf was huge in 2 games against San Jose. He was huge as that game went along in Minnesota against Minnesota. This guy has been an extremely important part of why the Flames have been able to win a lot of these games that have essentially been and certainly have felt like must-win games. Not as much pushback on Dustin Wolf starting games these days.
I don't question rolling him out game after game. I did wonder whether or not we'd see Vladar last week, but the schedule shapes up where you literally play every second day for the rest of the regular season. So you're able to manage at least a little bit that way Wolf's workload. And yeah, to your point, in those 7 games, he's got a 2.26 goals against average and a .916 save percentage. He's letting in 2 goals a game. How do you not just keep... And he's your de facto number one. It's very clear he's the number one goalie here.
Did you throw out the 16-7? Is that what you threw out there?
16-7.
I think that was what Wilsey threw out there in the 7 straight games that he started here, 16 goals against.
That would have been Wilsey, but 2.26 goals per game.
Okay.
He's given up.
Okay.
So...
16-7. Okay, yeah. So yeah.
Math checks out.
Like, that is...
Like, you're not going to go away from that when you need to win.
I probably didn't react the way I should have on postgame on Sunday night when Wilsey threw that out there. That is bonkers. 16 goals in 7 essential must-win games that he started consecutively.
Points in 6 of the 7 for the team.
Points in 6 of the 7.
He's got no goals, though, during that stretch.
Yeah,
so.
Suck. Get it going. Suck it up, Wolf. Score some goals. Why don't
not even a secondary assist. Come on, man.
2 regulation losses in their last 14 games.
Whew.
2 more to go, and they can't afford another regulation loss.
Literally.
They're going to need to do 2 regulation losses in 16 if they want to make the playoffs, and if they do that, they will fully be deserving of a postseason spot. We'll get to that again in hour 2, a little bit more in hour 2. Read a few texts. First of all, congratulations to Yegor Sharangovich for turning his season around at the most important time. We'll get to him on the Daily Flames Roundtable. Heck of a night for the top line, from Klapka to Kadri to Huberdeau. All 3 of those guys had outstanding games. And, you know, Mackenzie Weegar scores a massive goal to stop the bleeding in the first period as well. And I thought Weegar had, again, just a step up type of game where, hey, you need one of your best players to kill it in a huge game, and I thought Weegar killed it as well. So some really, really impressive performances with the season on the line.
Let's shout out Michael Backlund, too.
Yeah, and Backlund as well. That line, I mean, that shift that Backlund, Coronado, yep, and Coleman put together to score the insurance
marker
was really important as well.
He's looked a lot more familiar since coming back off injury than when we've seen him at times this season, and I do think that the injury played a large part in, I mean, he was still being very effective in a shutdown role, but we weren't necessarily seeing that full two-way game that he's displayed for the better part of a decade. It's back now.
Read a few texts. 960-960, Wedley and Bridlewood. Lloyd Christmas, there's a chance they'll get in, Mary Samsonite. Nice references. Francesca makes a good point. We have to stop using the texter Daryl as a barometer. You're very correct in that. This says St. Louis will be playing Utah, who will be on a second half of back-to-back and most likely using their third string goalie. Going to be tough to count on Utah to come through, taking that into account. Worst case, they lose to St. Louis in overtime, allowing the Flames to pass St. Louis on the tiebreaker. This says, regardless who's playing for Vegas, if Calgary shows up like that, it's going to be 5-0 at the end of the first. Very true. They can't start like that.
Right.
Vegas will be resting a few guys, it sounds like, on Tuesday night. And we'll find out more about the lineup on Tuesday
they
morning.
They had Eichel, Hag, Olofsson, Petrangelo all out in their last game.
And I think,
for various reasons. Some are injury related,
and I think a few more, they might rotate some in and rotate some out. But essentially, Bruce Cassidy said that they won the Pacific. They're going to try some things in their final 2 games. They're locked into their playoff spot. Winning's great, but more important is getting set for the postseason.
Yep.
We'll see how that plays into it as well. Okay, it is Pat Steinberg, Aaron Vickers, along with you on this hour of Flames Talk. Thanks for hanging out with us on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts, and live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. It's time to go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline to welcome in our next guest, who is the newest member of the Flames organization, as the Flames signed college free agent Carter King to a 1-year contract on Monday morning. First reported by Frank Saravalli on Sunday. Carter's coming off a 43-point season in 44 games as a senior at the University of Denver. Went to the national championship semifinal this year. It is a 1-year deal, which kicks in next season. He'll be off to the Wranglers for the rest of the season on an ATO and help with the Wranglers in their playoff run. And we're joined by University of Denver product, a new member of the Calgary Flames. Oh, and he happens to have a 403 area code as well. We're joined by Carter King on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Carter, really appreciate this. How are we doing on this Monday?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. Congratulations on the contract. And I guess take us through the last few days for you leading up to the announcement here.
Yeah, it's been crazy. Obviously, I'm super appreciative and thankful to be a part of the Flames organization. But things move quick after the year. So it was just kind of hanging in there and trying to see what was happening. And fortunately, the perfect thing happened for me, so I'm happy.
So what is the process? I mean, you're focused on that run to the Final Four, the Frozen Four. You're focused on finishing out your career at the University of Denver. Obviously, it ends the way it ends. And then all of a sudden, you're going through this whirlwind to sign with the Flames and get your butt back to Calgary. Like, what is the last, take us through the process of the last 2-3 days.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. Like, at the end of the year, you want to be with your teammates. You want to be, like, with all your brothers. And obviously, like, we didn't have the best end of the year, so we wanted to be together. But at the same time, I knew I was going to have some stuff going on with playing pro. And I didn't really talk to my agent much during playoffs because everyone's just completely focused on the playoffs. So it kind of all comes crashing down in a few days after. So it's pretty stressful, but I'm happy now.
How exciting is, like, obviously you're signing a pro contract. That's exciting to begin with, but to be coming home and joining your hometown team, like, can you take us through the emotions of now being a part of the Flames organization and the team that you grew up with?
Yeah, I couldn't be more excited to be a part of the Flames organization. I've been a massive Flames fan my entire life. My dad told me the other day that I went to my first game when I was 2 months old. So, it's been a long time coming, and I'm so excited. I got a lot of friends and family at home that I'm going to be able to see now, and they're going to be able to come to some games. So I'm so excited.
So what were some of your, like, if you were to look back on your time growing up as a hockey fan and as your minor hockey career, what you're Lake Bonavista and then Buffaloes, like, as you're going through your minor hockey career and watching the Flames, like, what are some of the reflections on Flames hockey you had growing up?
Yeah, it was interesting. I never really grew up expecting to play pro hockey. For me, I was just truly a fan. There was a lot of players I just loved watching, going with my dad or my mom or even my uncle sometimes. So, watching Jerome and Alex Tanguay and all the way back, I used to love, Damon Lankow back in the day. And
nice.
Just all the old Flames that I used to love watching. It's super cool. So, yeah, it's been a long time.
Carter, I was going to ask you, when you're in the driveway playing road hockey or on the outdoor rink or anything, who is the Flames guy you pretended to be?
Yeah, I mean, it was hard not to be Jerome back in the day.
Yeah, okay.
And then, as I got older, I think my favorite line was probably when Gaudreau was playing with Monahan and Hudler, when they were really starting to get their chemistry going together. They were so fun to watch, but. Probably those guys.
So when you put pen to paper, is being a Flames fan growing up one of the biggest motivators, the family being one of the biggest motivators? What else inspired you? Because you would have had a couple of options. What else inspired you to sign with the Flames?
Yeah, I really appreciated kind of the attentiveness and how much effort the Flames put into getting to know me and my game. Obviously I was in for a development camp in the summer, and I got to meet a lot of the staff and some other players on the team, and being able to do that and get to know the people that I'd be playing for was definitely a big factor for me. And just to know that they've been watching me for longer than just this year. They've been watching me for a couple of years now. So
yeah.
Having that and knowing that they know how I play and that they appreciate it is a big thing for me.
We're chatting with Carter King, who signs his entry-level deal out of college with the Calgary Flames. Calgary product, signing with his hometown team. And now you're joining the Wranglers for the rest of the way. I know you're making your way to Calgary here on this Monday. Have you thought about now that this is a reality, like what the jump is going to be like from college to pro?
Yeah, I've definitely put some thought into it. I think one of the special things about being at a program like the University of Denver is you get to see guys make that jump year after year.
Yeah.
So every year I'm watching my teammates go and play in the AHL, play in the NHL, all that stuff. So I think it makes it a little bit easier that way, just hearing about their experiences and kind of what insight they have. So it'll definitely be difficult. I don't think it's easy for anybody, but I'm excited for it.
What makes you believe that you're ready to make this jump? Like, what, when you take a look at your game and you know your game better than anybody else, what makes you believe that, hey, I'm ready to make this jump to pro hockey?
Yeah, I think I have a well-rounded game. I try to make sure that there's not something that's a blaring weakness in my game. I've had the luxury of playing under Coach Carl here at DU for the last 4.5 years, and he's such an unbelievable coach. And he allows you to grow so much as a player and as a person. So I think that's going to be a strength of mine, is just being well-rounded and being able to learn and play the game the right way.
Carter, I don't want to dwell on how the season ended too much at Denver, because I know that was crushing, but to go from that to now, the Wranglers clinched a playoff spot over the weekend. They got two more regular season games, and then they'll be playing AHL playoff hockey. Like, to jump right back in and be playing playoff hockey and being part of a team that's looking to go on a playoff run, like, how re-energizing is that for you as a guy?
Yeah, I think it's exciting. You know, it's definitely a little weird. Like, obviously, every single year you play, when you're done with playoffs, you're done. But this is kind of one of the few exceptions where you're done, but you're not truly done, because you're going to be playing pro hockey now, and then you're going to have another playoff run. So, you know, I'm excited to be a part of a new team and be in the playoffs and really just be able to contribute any way I can here.
You, it's funny, like, you different people, when they throw a scouting report out on you, they talk about how responsible you are in the two-way game. You mentioned Damon Lanko as a guy, and there was always a guy who was very, very responsible as well. Like, do you see some similarities in kind of that two-way role between you and what Lanko was when he played for the Flames?
Yeah, I'll be honest. Back then, I probably wasn't analyzing the game as much as I would now, but... You know, I'd have to go back and see some tape, but I think there's a lot of good examples over the years, but really just trying to fill a role that that the organization's looking for.
How would you describe yourself as a player?
Yeah, I like to think I'm a 200-foot player. I've been playing a lot of special teams here at DU. I've been on the power play on penalty kill for the last couple of years, so. For me, it's more just trying to contribute in any way I can, and whether that's special teams or 5-on-5. I've been taking pride in doing well on face-offs, so I think that's something that I'm going to be able to contribute with, and just being able to be supportive of my line mates and just play fast, really.
You see yourself as a center, a winger? Like, what as you make the jump, what's kind of the read there?
Yeah, I've been playing center for the last 3 years. I played wing for the 3 years before that. So
okay,
I can do whatever's really asked of me, but definitely been playing center more recently.
Okay, very good. That's good piece of information. And I sent a few texts to a couple people after the news came down, and everything that you hear about you is high character, and you know how much you'll do to make sure that your group gets the result, and how much of a winner and that character that is kind of the thing that shines through. When you hear that, what's kind of your reaction?
Well, I appreciate it. Hopefully it means I'm doing some right things, but I think one of the things that drew me to Calgary was just how much the organization appreciated high character players and people that work to do the right thing all the time, and something that I definitely appreciate, and I'm glad they notice as well.
So, Carter, I have to ask, you're on your way back to your hometown. Do you still have a bedroom here? Are you destined for a hotel? What's this situation look like for you?
Yeah, I still got a bedroom there. I'll be staying with my parents for a bit here, but yeah.
Nice. Tell me there's a Flames poster on the wall.
Oh, yeah, there's probably a couple.
Awesome. Right on.
Carter, I know you got to bounce, so we'll let you go. Travel safe to Calgary, man. Congratulations on the contract. We're looking forward to watching you put on those Wranglers colors for the rest of this season. We'll see you when you get back to Calgary. Thanks so much for doing this today, hey?
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Carter King is the newest member of the Flames organization. He signs a one-year contract with the Flames on Monday. He's got to hustle and get himself to Calgary. He's supposed to be on the ice with the Wranglers on Tuesday morning. Ooh. And start his ATO. So, you know, unlike Idar Suniev, there's the two ways you can do it coming out of college, right? Idar Suniev signed the deal that started this year, which makes him ineligible to play in the American League. He's not available to the AHL team until next year, whereas Carter King signs a deal that starts next year, and he is eligible for the American League on an amateur tryout this year. So those are the two distinctions. So he's going to join the team with the Wranglers the rest of the year. See how many games he gets into. They could use the offense.
Yes, they could.
And we're talking, like, a lot of similarities to Sam Morton, right? 23 years old. We're not talking about an 18, 19-year-old making the jump. We're talking about a 23-year-old guy who's coming into, like, that's pro hockey age already. And as he said, The University of Denver is one of those, you know, powerhouse feeders to
juggernaut
the NHL. They are a juggernaut program, exactly. And so they make it easy for, or easier for, guys to make the jump from college to pro right away.
And yes, the age in the American Hockey League is going to be a bit higher, but having 4.5 seasons playing at the NCAA level helps you prepare for that. And you're bringing in a player in Carter King that was a point per game player on a team that had aspirations for back-to-back national championships. Just happened to be their captain as well, and speaking to the leadership element that he can bring as well.
Just take a look at some of the guys who have made the jump in recent years. I mean, Carter Savoy was a member of that Denver squad a few years ago. So he's a recent example of a guy who's tried to make the jump. And Zeev Bouyum, who's going to join the Minnesota Wild and sounds like going to play for them in their do-or-die game on Tuesday. Zeev Bouyum's going to make the jump. What did he play in that double overtime loss to Western Michigan? Like 560 minutes?
I think he played, it was like 55 somewhere in there. It upped his game per game average 30 seconds.
And I believe it translated to like 38 minutes over 60.
Yeah.
That's how much he played. When's the last time a guy played almost two-thirds of a hockey game? Like, it doesn't happen. But congrats to Carter King. That's a cool story. He's a Lake Bonavista guy, went up through the Buffaloes program, goes to the University of Denver. He started AJ. I think he did like some APing in the AJ, but then decided to go to Surrey in the BC League.
Yeah.
Played
one,
junior A there. And
one game with the Mustangs before
one
going
game with
to
the
Surrey.
Mustangs. Okay.
One game. Sorry.
Did one
I say
game,
one year.
Yeah. No,
one game.
Yeah. Cool story. Good for him. Also, significant is the signing of Arseniy Sergeyev as well, the goaltender that the Flames drafted back in 2021 in the seventh round. He signed his two-year entry-level deal. These people were wondering why they only signed Carter to a one-year deal. That's the max amount they're allowed under the CBA to sign him to because of his age. Arseniy Sergeyev signs a two-year deal, and they really wanted to get that done because he could have, had he gone back, he would have been eligible for unrestricted free agency next year. So they really wanted to make sure they signed Sergeyev, with Valtteri Ignatiev slated to leave the organization at the end of this season. A nice path to pro hockey for Sergeyev next year, whether it's the ECHL, whether it's the American League, we'll see. There's a lot of balls in the air when it comes to the goaltending position for the Flames. Like, there's one lottery ball that's like stuck, and he wears number 32. And then it kind of is up in the air. What does Dan Vladar decide to do? I think that if the Flames had their druthers, they would probably like to keep Dan Vladar. But does Dan want to chase perhaps more playing time elsewhere? Does he want to stay here? If Vladar stays, I think the Flames would be prepared to kind of sign him to a very similar contract to he's on right now. If Vladar stays, then what happens with Cooley? Is Cooley a guy that is with the Wranglers next year, or does he get claimed on waivers if they're going to go Wolf and Vladar as their tandem next year? And then you've got, obviously, Sergeyev, who's in the conversation. It's a really interesting goaltending ladder they've got. And they've got some really young goalies elsewhere that are starting. I mean, you take a look at the two guys in Russia that are playing right now, the numbers they're putting up. Yeah. Promising goaltending depth chart in Calgary right now.
Absolutely, and I'm interested to see Sergeyev play pro games after, again, similar situation, as you mentioned, coming out of the NCAA, which was one of the better goalies on that circuit this past season. As the games got more important, he got better.
Yeah.
That's the other thing to note, too.
With Penn State. Yep. Aaron Vickers, Pat Steinberg, we are underway this hour on Flames Talk. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Monday. Arseniy Sergeyev signs a two-year contract. He was a seventh-round pick of the Flames back in 2021. And Carter King, a college free agent, Calgary product out of the University of Denver, signs a one-year deal. Both those deals kick in next season, which is important to point out as well. Thanks to Carter King for joining us. Thanks to Sean Kelso for helping set that up. And Carter King joined us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, serving the best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs for over half a century. Dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast or call 403-248-3344 for pickup or delivery.
Flames Talk is live on Calgary's hockey station, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
And as our Monday edition rolls on, it's time for our daily Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The fastest growing segment of vehicles they sell is electric. informed buyers are coming to see. Perhaps you should discover why. Minutes from the Calgary Airport. It's Steinberg, Aaron Vickers of NHL.com. And now Derek Wills joins us to complete our Daily Flames Roundtable on this Monday. And gents, wanted to spend this roundtable on a couple of individual Flames players. And we have talked about both these guys over the last couple of weeks, but after the Flames figure it out again on Sunday night, beat the San Jose Sharks 5-2. These two guys were at the forefront of it. Let's start with Adam Klapka. Jens, are we seeing Adam Klapka's NHL arrival right now? Like, is this Adam Klapka serving notice that this is where he belongs? Curious as to what our thoughts are on what we're seeing from big number 43 right now.
Absolutely. I mean, it's funny what can turn things for a player or for a team, but in this case, a player. So you go back to that game against the Sharks last Monday, and Martin Pospisil goes awkwardly into the boards and gets hurt, and the Flames need someone to play on the right side of the top line with Nazem Kadri and Jonathan Huberdeau, and Adam Klapka is given that opportunity. And then he scores a big goal, and that means that he gets to start the next game there. And really, for me, that was kind of the start of where Adam Klapka began to solidify himself as a top nine forward on this team. And you look at the numbers, and he's got 3 goals and 6 points in his last 8 games. He had 3 goals and points in his first 27 career NHL games. You also take a look at the minutes. He's played double-digit minutes in 5 straight, which had only happened 3 times prior in his career. And he's actually played 15 minutes plus in the last 3 hockey games, the 3 highest time on ice totals for him in his NHL career. So I absolutely think that, you know, and it's unfortunate that it took Martin Pospisil getting banged up in that game against the Sharks for him to get the opportunity to play on the top line. But, you know, he got that chance, and I think he's made the most of it. And he's starting to figure out how to use the rare package that he has to his advantage at the NHL level. He's done it at the AHL level. He's one of the top goal scorers and point producers in Calgary Wranglers franchise history. And it's taken him a little time. And it has taken, again, an injury and an opportunity for him to show what he can do. But he's starting to figure out how to use that 6'8", 235-pound frame and the speed and the skill and the grit that he plays with. So it's been fun to watch his transformation. And he's done a heck of a job playing with the team's top 2 offensive players of late.
There's no doubt he's never looked more comfortable at the NHL level than he has over the last 8 to 10 games. It's undisputable. Is this his NHL arrival? I'm not certain yet. We've seen in the past, whether it's the Calgary Flames or the other 31 teams, guys come in, get hot for a month, and then evaporate. I'm not saying that that's going to be the case for Adam Klapka, but I'm saying I need a larger sample size of this, and we're not going to get enough runway this season to prove or disprove whether or not he's a full-time NHLer that can play in the top nine. But boy, do the signs look promising. Wills, you mentioned putting together that size and that skill combination with a guy that big but can move sort of that seamlessly around the ice, even though it might not look like he's moving fast. Boy, are those strides ever so long that it catches defensemen off guard and by surprise and creates a lot of opportunity for him. Everybody can get excited about what Adam Klapka is right now and what he could be with a couple more years of development as well. And you look at some of the comparables that we've seen lobbied about over the course of the last couple of months of he can be like player X or player Y. I think he's just sort of being Adam Klapka, and that's been an absolute force and an absolute menace for the Flames as their margin of error is absolutely evaporated. But you need players to step up when that situation faces you, and there's not a doubt in my mind he's been one of those guys for the Calgary Flames that has answered the bell.
I mean, there's still, I absolutely think there's still, like, the sample size needs to get larger of him being an impact guy, but a few things for me. First, like, Wilsey, you said it when we were doing the broadcast Sunday night, and I'll steal it right from you, but we were talking about, you know, what Adam Klapka has done of late, and the point you made was not only is he doing that and the points you threw out there, but he's doing it on a regular basis against better players. He's not, like, he was making an impact for a little while there on the fourth line. Now he's playing with Kadri and Huberdeau, and he's still making an impact there. And I think that's a really important distinction, that he's still going out there against good players or better players, top six players on the other side, and he's still been a generally effective player. There was one shift, I believe it would have been in the first period. It would have been the second period of Sunday's game. And it was the shift that Mackenzie Weegar hit the post and almost scored his second goal of the game. And it was the top line out there, the Kadri line out there with Hanley and Weegar. And the Sharks had a couple of opportunities to break out with speed, but they could not. Like at one point, Adam Klapka won a battle against three different Sharks players in the middle of the ice, used his frame, his stick, and his smarts to keep a battle alive and keep the puck in the offensive zone. And a few seconds later, Weegar stepped into that shot that clanked the post. And I was like, geez, like that is an impressive shift from Adam Klapka. He obviously scored the goal, had the primary assist on the game tying goal as well. So, I mean, there was a lot to like in that game alone, but I do think that we're starting to see a guy that is figuring out what he can be. And, you know, when we talk about what this, whether they make it or not, what this run of important games through March and April, how important it is for certain players. We talk about Dustin Wolf. We talk about Matt Coronato. We talk about maybe Kevin Ball and this opportunity for him. One guy that maybe we don't talk enough about is Adam Klapka, who's, again, a very inexperienced young guy playing in the NHL, and him doing this at this time of year, I can't look past the fact that not only is he doing these things, Wilsey, but he's also doing it with Calgary's season repeatedly on the line. So, yeah, I think there's a very good chance we are looking. Do I think he's going to be a top-line player the rest of his career? I'm not there yet, but I do think that we're starting to see a guy who's kind of serving notice that the best league in the world is where he belongs.
And no, I don't think he's going to be a top-line player for the rest of his career. I'm not saying that he won't turn into that guy, but I'm not going to sit here and predict that he's going to be playing on a full-time basis on the right side of a line with Nazem Kadri and Jonathan Huberdeau from game one until game 82 next season. But what I am fairly comfortable predicting is that he has probably turned himself into a top-nine player for this team. So that's massive progress for a guy who was a tweener for a while and who, you know, was in and out of the lineup for a while and who has spent most of the season playing on the right side of a fourth line with Kevin Rooney and Ryan Lomberg. And, you know, opportunity knocked and Adam Klapka answered. And, you know, I'm not sure the last two games is really going to change things for me a lot, guys. For me, it's going to be written at least in pencil going into next season that Adam Klapka is not a fourth liner anymore, that he should be playing regular minutes in this team's top nine and maybe even seeing some second unit power play time. Think about that big 6'8", 235-pound frame in front of the opposition's goaltender, and that sounds pretty appealing, and I think would look pretty appealing, at least on paper. We'll have to wait and see what it looks like on the ice. But yeah, I think the stats tell the story. 3 goals and 6 points in the last 8 games. I think the ice time tells the story. These are the most meaningful games that the Flames have played this season. And you could argue the most meaningful games that the Flames have played in 3 seasons. And some players shrink in big moments. Even big players shrink in big moments sometimes. But that's not what's happened with Adam Klapka. The Flames needed someone to step up and fill that spot on the right side of their top line. And Pat, to your point, those are tough minutes to play because you're going up against the other team's top players for a good chunk of games and their best defenders and their best checkers. So those aren't easy minutes. And, you know, the Flames don't score a lot, so they lean really heavily on that dynamic duo of Kadri and Huberdeau and whoever's playing on the other wing with them. So the fact that Adam Klapka is playing the best hockey of his life when the games mean the most for him and for his team, I think that speaks volumes. Yep.
It is the Daily Flames Roundtable. Derek Wills, Aaron Vickers, Pat Steinberg on this Monday. And last week we had a conversation. I think it was going. It was Friday actually, so it was our last regular Flames Talk day before a couple of weekend games. And we talked about Yegor Sharangovich, about like are we seeing him trend in the right direction? He had scored that goal in the game against Anaheim on Wednesday that, you know, thought to have helped the Flames to a victory. Obviously, it didn't go that way. But then biggest game of the season Friday, scores a massive goal against Minnesota. And then biggest game of the season, scores a pair of third period goals against the San Jose Sharks to give them the lead, a game-winning goal, and then a empty netter to make him finish the night 17 goals on the season. Seems like our kind of optimistic view on things last week, Wilsey, is well placed when talking about Yegor Sharangovich. So now that he has got 4 goals in his last 3 and goals in 3 consecutive, what are we seeing from number 17 right now?
Well, the one thing we continued to hear from Flames coaches, whether it be Ryan Huska or one of his assistants this season, is that Sharon Govich had to be more willing to engage in battles and, you know, win those battles, and had to do a better job putting himself in position to shoot the puck. And that's what I've seen from him. So he's been more engaged physically. He's been getting in battles. Tough to win battles if you don't get in battles. So he's been getting in battles. He's been winning some battles. So I think that's helped him and his line mates as well. And I also think that it's put him in a position to shoot the puck more often. So Sharon Govich has had three or more shots in four consecutive games, which hadn't happened in the previous nine games. And I think, quite frankly, hasn't happened enough this season. His best weapon is his shot. And if he doesn't put himself in a position to use that shot, then he's not going to be an effective player. But it is crazy, and we were talking about this on the roundtable. I can't remember if it was, well, it must have been last week, but the fact that Yegor Sharangovich has had, at least compared to last season, when he led the team in goals and was second on the team in points, the most goals and points in a season by a Belarusian in NHL history. So the bar was pretty high, and maybe even higher after the five-year contract extension he got during the offseason. But, you know, based on those two things, he's had a horrible season. I mean, I don't think there's any arguing that. But with that said, he's up to 17 goals. Like, he's only three away from scoring 20. Scoring 20 goals is not easy to do in this league. So the fact that Yegor Sharangovich, who I think would be the first player to admit that he hasn't played to the level he did last season, he hasn't played to his standards or the team standards this season, the fact that in 71 games he's got 17 goals, I think tells you a lot about the player that he has been and the player that he can be moving forward. And hopefully this is a lesson learned for him. And, you know, there's an old saying, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And these are the biggest games of the season. I know there's been some talk about how Yegor Sharangovich did a lot of his damage at the end of last season when the games didn't really mean much to the Flames. Well, he's doing a lot of damage right now when the games mean more than they have in probably 3 years for this team. So I think we have to give credit where credit is due.
Yeah, four in his last three. He only had one in his previous 15 and 13 in the first 68 games to start the season. And Wilsey, to your point, he is battling a lot more. He's engaging a lot more. And he's in and around that home plate area a lot more in front of the opposition's net, which I don't necessarily think he's done consistently throughout this season. His last three goals, will throw out the empty netter. His three goals, average distance, 13.67 feet. Minnesota goal was 12 feet away, that tip in. The Ducks goal was 7 feet away, and the Sharks goal was 22 feet away. I think he's been guilty a lot of times this season of being a perimeter player. He certainly hasn't been of late. And we talked a lot about Jonathan Huberdeau and his goal scoring surge this season, a lot in the same way of being in and around the crease, getting to the dirty areas. Sharangovich is a little bit further out, but in those prime scoring high danger areas where he's able to use that asset, as we've talked about again, his best asset is his shot. He's getting into positions to use it. And I think a lot of it stems from, one, shooting more, as you mentioned, Wilsey. 14 shots in his past four games, was averaging 1.67 in the first 67 games of season. So volume is up. Where he's shooting from is in better territory. And I think a lot of that comes from confidence. We've talked a lot about confidence with Sharangovich over the course of this season. And when he's not feeling it, boy, does it ever show. But when he is feeling it, boy, does it ever show.
Yep.
It's showing right now and at the perfect time for the Flames. We talked on the roundtable a couple weeks ago about if Sharangovich can get hot, what it might mean for the Flames down the stretch. We didn't necessarily see it a couple weeks ago. We saw little bits of spurts here and there. Now I think we're seeing it full on.
Well, I mean, you look at the timing of the goals as well, and when they have come. Third period against Anaheim, and I know the Flames blew that game, but he's still, what, like a minute later after Zegras ties it, Sharangovich scores on that rebound, driving the net and scoring on a rebound. Bam, it's 2-1 Calgary. So that's a huge go-ahead goal in the third period. On Friday, it's an early second period goal, but it builds on Calgary's strong first period against Minnesota. And that is a perfect example of you know, the way Sharangovich can impact a game. He starts in his own end, picks up a puck in kind of the shallow defensive zone, makes a couple of nice moves, shifty moves to the neutral zone. He's one of Calgary's, I would say, Morgan Frost is their best entry guy right now, and next would be Sharon Govich or Kadri in terms of their ability to gain the offensive zone with possession. He does that with speed between the blues, enters the offensive zone with speed, and then instead of making like a silly decision or taking a low-danger shot, he passes off to Pospisil right side and then keeps driving the net. Pospisil finds him, and Sharon Govich with a nice tip to make it 2-0. Again, an important goal. And then what does he do on Sunday against San Jose? The empty netter is great. It sealed the game, but it's the game-winning goal that, again, it's just simple hockey, going to the net, bouncing puck. He makes a smart play to kick it to Frost, gets himself open, and the puck comes back to him, and he takes a shot to make it 3-2, and the Flames never look back from there. So I'm really impressed at what we're seeing. It looks a whole lot more like the guy that was, and Vic's mentioned it, you know, the guy that was very, very, like he runs hot and he runs cold. And I think confidence is a big reason for that. When he's feeling it in his game, he rolls. When it's not, I think it's a little bit harder for him. But right now, I think we're talking about a very, very confident player. And look at the shot attempts here over the last little bit. The last four games, 8 shot attempts against San Jose, 4 against Anaheim, 7 against Minnesota, 6 against San Jose on Sunday. Like, that's high volume shooting from Sharon Govich. And with his shot and his accuracy, all of a sudden you're going to start to see pucks go in. So I didn't know. Wilsey, I don't know if I was confident I was going to see it, but we've been very critical of Yegor all year long, deservingly so. But when you're critical of somebody and they change the narrative and they start turning things around, especially at an important time of the year like this, then I think it's really important you give the guy credit. And that's exactly what we're doing here.
And whoever makes the Flames team meals probably deserves a little bit of credit based on what we heard post-game night.
That became more of a post-game topic than I think I can ever remember pre-game meals becoming.
Yeah, from chicken and pasta to salmon and risotto, which actually sounds good. Maybe I'll have salmon and risotto for dinner in honor of Sharky, since he's got a 3-game goal scoring streak in the go. But, you know, sometimes it is something funny like that that can change things for a player. I'm not sure if that has anything to do with it or everything to do with it. But whatever he has done, he's playing a lot better hockey and at the right time for the Flames. And you know, they have been a team that has struggled to score all season long, and he got a couple of big goals for him last night, one to win the game and one to put it to bed for once and for all, and he's heated up at the right time. So hopefully he can continue to play this way in the last couple of games, go into the offseason feeling a little bit better about himself, and then be this guy more regularly next season when that contract extension kicks in.
All right, Wilsey, we will see you Tuesday morning at the Dome. Thank you very much, as always, on this edition of the Roundtable.
Super Tuesday tomorrow. Can't wait.
Derek Wills, Aaron Vickers, Pat Steinberg. That'll start to wrap us up on this hour of Flames Talk. Thanks to Cam Hughes, Taylor Dingman, our outstanding producers this hour. And that'll wrap us up on the Daily Flames Roundtable. It's brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills, the fastest growing segment of vehicles they sell is electric. Informed buyers are coming to see. Perhaps you should discover why minutes from the Calgary Airport.